Augustine, Ohio. We're glad you've decided to join us, and we hope you enjoy this week's message.
Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we can gather together in your house, that we can spend this time with you, that we can spend this time worshiping you, lifting our voices to you, gathering around your table, and hearing your word proclaimed. Heavenly Father, we ask that you watch out for those that are traveling this morning and traveling after service. The roads are a little bit rough out there. We ask that you be with this service, and we ask that you be with Chad as he brings us the message this morning. And we ask that you be with those that can't make it today, whether they're ill or whether they have work duties or whatever the situation is. But mostly we ask you to look out for those that have fallen back and help us to reach out to them so that we can bring them back to us, back to you. We ask that you just watch over this service. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So it's Valentine's Day. This whole day dedicated to love. And as we go through this journey of life, the meaning of Valentine's Day changes. When we're in elementary school, we might get excited about decorating a slightly modified shoebox and exchange decorated cards that are decorated with the most popular cartoon character of the day. And as we're a young adult, it's more of the romantic side, the flowers, the candies, the stuffed animals. And as we get a bit older, the focus may shift to that person that we can depend on day in and day out. In all cases, being close to those who you love is a good thing on Valentine's Day, or any other day for that matter. And every day, we have the love of Jesus. And over time, that love doesn't change. And when we want to be closer to Jesus, we can borrow and slightly modify a line from a 1976 Seals and Crofts song. I can just hear Jesus saying, "Child, if you want me to be closer to you, get closer to me." Jesus loves you, but he's not the one that needs to move to feel closer to that love. We can't very well mail a card to Jesus for Valentine's Day. So how do we go about showing our love for him? Jesus helps us that when he restored Peter after his great denial. In John 21, we hear Jesus say, "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep." In short, carry out that great commission. Or we hear in Peter, chapter 1, verse 22, "Love one another fervently with a pure heart." We are truly blessed to be on the receiving side of the love of Jesus. And it's because we're on the receiving side of the love of Jesus that we can gather around this table of remembrance. Paul reminds us of this love in Romans chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his love towards us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we have this table of remembrance and that we have this time that we can gather here at your invitation, that we can take the bread and the cup and that we can remember the sacrifice that was made for us because of your great love. I ask now that you be with each one of us as we take the bread and we take the cup, that we do so in a way that honors you. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. How's everybody today? Good. I'm glad you all were able to make it out today. Before we get started, to go over a few announcements. If you look at the bulletin today, there will be a board meeting after the second service. So if everybody can that's supposed to attend to that. We also are having I have a request from downstairs. We have our youth. We meet from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. downstairs. We have youth group down there on Wednesdays from 6 to 8. From 6 to 7, we have the snack shack open, and everybody's able to play all the games and things like that. And then we have class from 7 to 8. Well, the one thing that we're running into is an amazingly great problem. We have a bunch of kids showing up. This past Wednesday, we had 29 downstairs. The thing is, it's just Jess and I down there on Wednesdays. There are a couple helpers. Sometimes Darlene, if she's able to make it, she'll be there. But we're asking that we can get a little bit of help. So if you feel it on your heart to show up on Wednesday evenings, we more just need monitor of the kids, you know, and somebody that loves kids, wants to interact with them. You won't be teaching unless you want to. You can let me know that. But we are needing a little bit of help down there. So if you feel it on your heart to show up on Wednesdays, just talk to me. Obviously, we don't want everybody, you know, to show up. But just talk to me or talk to Jess if you see her. She'll be here in between the services. So if you feel it on your heart, talk to us, and we'll talk to you about kind of how we could use that help. That'd be fantastic. Also, we have received some of the games. That have come in. We asked for some brand new board games or slightly used board games that have all the pieces. People have been bringing those in, so thank you for that. Keep continuing with that. Also, today is the last day to let Jess know via her email address only, jessica@cosep.org, if you would like your kindergartner through sixth grade to have a blessing bag. Today's the last day, and then she's going to get them organized, and depending on what the snow does this week, we'll get out there and we'll get them out either this week, or if the snow's too much, we'll get it out next week. Also, there's a bunch of prayer requests. Happy birthday to all the February birthdays. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody that's here and listening. And so one thing I want to do, I know everybody, if you haven't seen, Bob is here today, but he's going to be here just for the first service, an update on Sarah. Sarah is home, so every single prayer that everybody threw up to Jesus, it all worked, because she's now home and she's comfortable. She's been getting dialysis, and I think we had mentioned that she's getting a biopsy. Those biopsy results are not in yet, so they don't know, but throughout the week, that creatinine count has come down. It peaked at 9.5, I believe, and the last I heard it was about 2.4. So that's fantastic news, and that's all because of prayer and what God has done through modern medicine. So she has received a bunch of dialysis. She's still weak, so we just ask that you continue to allow her to have time to rest, and we just ask that you continue to pray that whatever's going on is reversible. If it's COVID that's hitting the organs, whatever is going on with the kidneys, we just ask that you just throw prayers to heaven that this is reversible and that she will come out of this 100% fine. And obviously continue to pray for the family as well, that they're comforted during this time. And she does have three dialysis treatments this week. So just continue to pray, and hopefully that biopsy comes back this week so we can all figure out what's going on there. Before we continue on with the message, let's go ahead and go to God in silent prayer. Amen. So we're getting back into our Hebrew series. Last week we took a little pause, but we're getting back into it. Today we're going on the blood of Christ. Next week I'll be bringing us a message on faith. And then I believe at that point that's when Bob will be returning, and then he'll go over the red flares where we were at and then finish out the series. If that's the way that the Lord has it working. But today we're getting back to Hebrews. We're going Hebrews 9, 11 through 22 today. And this is where we're going to be talking about the blood of Christ. And what does that mean? And when thinking about how kind of expansive all this is, when we look up into the night sky, we see, well, I guess right now we're seeing a bunch of clouds and snow. But on those clear nights, we see those little twinkling stars up there, don't we? And even though we see some of them, we know that there are more out there than what our eyes can see. We know that for every star that we can see with our own eye, there are thousands more behind them. I was thinking about this, so I did a little research. And did you know that right now there's an estimated 70 sextillion stars? I had no idea that was even a number. But what that is a 7 with 22 zeros behind it. I would like that in my bank account. How about you guys? There's an estimated 100 billion galaxies in the universe. In modern times, they've given us this huge advantage of telescopes and planetariums and even space exploration that have allowed us to see more and more and more and more. But for all that we have discovered, there's still even more out there that we are not even capable of seeing. We don't have a telescope that can see this. We don't have a ship that can take us there. And we don't have the minds to even comprehend just how expansive this is. We don't know how vast and how beautiful and complex space really is. What we see is just the tip of the iceberg. And that's exactly how the tabernacle in the ancient Israel was. When it was beautiful, it was ornate, it was elaborate, it was awe-inspiring for those ancient people to see. But when they entered the temple, they had the sense that there was just more, that it was bigger than what they saw. There's a lot of symbolism of the tabernacle, and it was designed to give people the hint of something even better. And the truth is that the Old Testament tabernacle, it was just patterned after the throne room of God. The place where people worship God on earth was a miniature replica, a shadow, if you will, of the place where God is worshiped in heaven. And this is the case with the Old Covenant versus the New Covenant as well. The Old Covenant was just a shadow of the New Covenant. When you take all that we have discovered so far in Hebrews that we've covered here, and you put it together, it paints a really, really cool picture for us. So I'm going to summarize the beginning of chapter 9 for the sake of time, because we want to get to 11 through 22. And I think I just heard an amen out there. It's not very nice, guys. The earthly tabernacle, it was a tent, if you will. It was a kind of portable temple that Israelites took with them through all their desert wanderings and even to the promised land. Everything in the tabernacle had this symbolic meaning. Inside, there was a lampstand, a table, and a consecrated or holy bread, if you will. Behind the second curtain was a room called the Most Holy Place, which had a golden altar of incense and a golden covered Ark of the Covenant. There was only one person who could go into that Most Holy Place, and that was the High Priest of Israel. When he entered, he came face to face with this golden incense altar and this Ark of the Covenant. And if you don't know what the Ark is, you know, just watch Indiana Jones, the Raiders of the Lost Ark. You know, it all kind of becomes kind of clear when you do that, but for sake of time, you know, it's similar. They believe there's a lot of replicas out there that believe it looks something like this. And on top of the ark, you see that there's two carved cherubim angels. Again, all these things are shadows of the real things in heaven. And the holy place pictured God's throne room in heaven. Burning of the incense, it represented prayers being sent right to God. The bread and the table are like a meal, symbolizing the fellowship that we have with God. The lid on the Ark of the Covenant was called the mercy seat, and it symbolized God's throne, where he sits in power. And the high priest would enter this most holy place to deal with sins. He would go in once a year behind this curtain, and he would offer the sacrifice of atonement, which covered all the sins. Now, if those Old Testament high priests are also shadows of the real thing in heaven, then who did the priest symbolically represent for us? Well, that's the Jesus. And all of the Old Testament is filled with these shadows, these illustrations, these patterns of the things that would come later through Jesus. But there's one issue about Old Testament worship that may surprise you based on modern day knowledge. And by these regulations, the Holy Spirit revealed that the entrance to the most holy place, it was not freely open as long as the tabernacle and the system it represented was still in use. The holiest place was not open to everybody. Ordinary people were not allowed to enter God's presence there. Only one person was allowed to approach God in that place that symbolized his throne room, and that was the high priest. And there were people who loved God, worshiped God, and tried to obey God, but they could not approach God where he dwelled in this temple. Their access was denied. There is a movie that was released about a baseball player named Jackie Robinson in 2013. The movie was called 42. And the movie chronicled his struggles as an African-American trying to break into Major League Baseball. And Jackie loved baseball. And he was a fantastic baseball player, but there was a kind of a more racist attitude in our country and in sports during that time that he played. So when he entered the big leagues, he was threatened, he was mocked, he was ridiculed, he was discriminated against. There were coaches, there were players, and media members who opposed him playing baseball in the majors. Imagine having to play a game afraid. And imagine everyone telling you that you just don't belong. You know, it's one thing to be left out. Most of us probably have had that feeling before. But to be labeled unworthy, that's just too much to take. And that's exactly what the Holy of Holies communicated to the people of Israel. You're not worthy to enter. But it wasn't the darkness of their skin that kept them out. It was the darkness of their sin. They were not allowed under any circumstance to enter the most holy place because they were not holy. Only the high priest could enter. And through the sin, and though their sins were forgiven through the ministry of the high priest, look at what they didn't have. Verse 9 tells us, "This is an illustration for the present time, indicating that the gifts and sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshiper." This verse gives us an insider's view of the Old Testament's people's worship experience. They were forgiven. They were covered by their sacrifices and offerings, and ultimately by their faith in God. But Old Testament sacrifices didn't cleanse the people's conscience. And this is a major issue for all people. People who don't know Christ will come to church looking for something to, or someone to ease their guilt, to clear that conscience for them. People who don't know Christ, they will looking for something to just take that pain, that uneasiness away. The guilty conscience, we know this, it can be very powerful. It affects us all, and there was nothing about the law that eased a person's conscience. The old system only dealt with food and drink and certain cleansing ceremonies, physical regulations that were in effect only until a better system could be established. See, the Old Testament worship anticipated something better. It was religion, very ceremonial, very rule-oriented, and people suffered under it. They longed for something better, and that's the point. The Old Testament ways anticipated the ministry of Jesus. And as we will see, the New Testament was ways that was the reason for Jesus. So in getting to our primary text today, verse 11 starts us off by saying, "But when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands, that is to say, is not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption." In the Old Testament, there were priests, the tabernacle, and the sacrifices, but they were just shadows of the real thing. See, Jesus is the ultimate priest. He ministers from the true place of worship in heaven, and Jesus sacrificed himself. And while the work of the high priest was effective, it didn't last. They kept having to offer more sacrifices over and over and over again. But through Jesus' blood and ultimate sacrifice, we have eternal, one and done, once and for all redemption through Christ's sacrifice. And what qualified Jesus' sacrifice for all of us? Well, he was willing. He was sinless. He was a perfect sacrifice. And he was offered through the eternal Spirit of God. None of these three things was something an animal had the potential to do. So something had to change. The writer continues. He says, "The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. So how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that led to death so that we may serve the living God." So they became ceremonially clean through the sacrifice of animals. We have clean consciences through the Christ's sacrifice. The sacrifice of Jesus makes us clean on the inside. Don't underestimate how important this is. What does it do for us to know that God loves us? What does it do for us to know that we are truly forgiven? And what power is there in knowing that all of our past, present, and future sins are paid for by Jesus, our Savior? What does that do for us? It eases our conscience and gives us a way to deal with ourselves in the midst of all these struggles. We can know for sure that no matter how bad our attitude or how shameful our sin, how unhappy we are with our failures, that we are forgiven, that we are loved. and that we are accepted by God. By the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. And for this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. In the Old Testament, the people's inheritance was the promised land. But the problem with that was that it kept being captured and lost because they kept breaking the covenant that they had made with God. But we have an eternal inheritance through Christ's sacrifice. Jesus has an inheritance for us which lasts forever. It will not be taken away from us as long as we're constantly seeking and believing. No one can take it away from us. No one can ruin it, cheapen it, or diminish it away. And it's not just a chunk of fertile farmland. Our inheritance is in the place where God dwells. Jesus' sacrifice has acquired an all-access backstage pass for all of us. Anyone can enter that holy place because of him. And the book of Hebrews tells us that we can enter God's presence boldly and that our inheritance, it's held for us in heaven. It will last forever. Now, the Hebrew writer, he gets a bit technical with these next set of verses. Verse 16 says, in the case of a will, it is necessary to prove the death of one who made it. Verse 17 says, because a will is in force only when somebody has died, it never takes effect while the one who made it is living. So in other words, we don't receive an inheritance unless someone dies. So what does all that mean? The author of Hebrews, you know, they thought that we might ask this question, so he tells us in this next verse. He says, this is why even the first covenant was not put into effect without blood. When Moses had proclaimed every command of the law to all the people, he took the blood of calves together with water, scarlet wool, and branches of hyssop, and sprinkled the scroll and all the people. He said, this is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you to keep. In the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and everything he used in its ceremonies. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Again, this might sound a little crazy to us that Israel's covenant was signed in blood, and blood of the sacrifices was mixed with water, dipped in hyssop branches, and cast out onto the crowd. But it's the end of verse 22 here that says something really important, and it is imperative for us today, that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Why is that? That's because we all fall short of God's standards, because we are all sinners. We all deserve death. Romans 6:23 says the wages or what we deserve or the penalty of sin is death. The sentence for convicted sinners is death. And what can satisfy the death penalty? Death. That's the bad news, or the reality that we have to know before we can accept the message of the good news. So aren't you glad that you guys decided to come to church today? The message on Valentine's Day, the day of love, to hear about death? But I promise you, I absolutely promise you that this is a love story. And it is a very happy ending for all of us. So as we kind of hit the home stretch here, let's see how actually going past 22, let's see how chapter 9 finishes out. Says, it was necessary then for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these sacrifices, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again the way the high priest entered the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But he has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. See, we have eternal forgiveness through Christ's sacrifice. And this is where things get really practical for us. Here's what it means. It means that we are forgiven. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you are forgiven. One final sacrifice for all time, for all who believe and are baptized. This is the message that people are dying to hear. That there is forgiveness of sins. There is a remedy for feeling so unworthy. There is a Savior for sinners, and he's able to forgive anything. And the best time to receive what Jesus offers is always right now. Just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are awaiting him. Our sins are removed through Christ's sacrifice. In the Old Testament, men and women could not approach God without a priest and a sacrifice. But the message of our Jesus is very different. When he died on the cross, that curtain that kept people out suddenly tore in half. And anyone who was paying attention got the message. Come on in. You're welcome. You may enter. You can approach your God with confidence. There is forgiveness in Jesus. There is salvation in Jesus. There is life in Jesus. And there is an eternal inheritance that is waiting just for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just love you so much. We thank you for this amazing love story that you have for us. Lord, that you would send your Son on this earth to die for us. That his blood would be shed for the forgiveness of our sins. And that we forever have an open invitation every second of every day to talk with him, to talk with you. Lord, we ask that you watch over us. We ask that you be with those that are hurting. We ask that you be with those that want to be here but are not. We ask that you be with those that are here. Help us to have a fantastic week. Lord, help us to be able to talk about you in such an open, free manner as we have those communications lines with you. We love you so much. We ask that your will always be done. We love you and we thank you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you'd like to join us in person, we're currently meeting at 9 and 10:30 on Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Check out our website at cocep.org for current info on services and social distancing guidelines. Have a great week.